Part 3. Keeping fit to drive. Driving is one of the most complex things that people do. To do it well takes a lot of skill and judgment. When you are a new driver, it takes all the ability you have. If anything happens to lower your ability, you cannot drive well. Your ability to drive is affected by alcohol and other drugs. When learning to drive in Maine, one of the most important things to bear in mind is this. Operating a motor vehicle in Maine is a privilege, not a right. Those who fail to drive in a safe and prudent manner will be denied that privilege. In other words, if you misbehave behind the wheel, you will be severely penalized. One of the surest ways to lose your license is to drink and drive. Alcohol is a drug. It is the most used and abused drug in America today. Alcohol can and has ruined the lives of untold millions. If you have been drinking, don't drive. If you are driving, don't drink. Alcohol-related crashes during 2010 represented an average of one alcohol-related fatality every 51 minutes. There were 10,228 nationwide alcohol-related crashes in 2010, according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, NHTSA. In 2010, 16% of all fatal crashes during the week were alcohol-related, compared to 31% on weekends. The rate of alcohol impairment among drivers involved in fatal crashes in 2010 was four times higher at night than during the day. In 2010, 22% of the young drivers, ages 15 to 20, involved in fatal crashes were drinking. In order to discourage drinking and driving, Maine has enacted one of the nation's toughest operating under the influence OUI laws. In fact, the chance of arrest and punishment is higher in Maine than in most other states. The following chapter is a summary of Maine's tough OUI law, alcohol's relative cost, and its effects on you and your driving, as well as a special notice to teenagers and young adults. Remember, if you value your life and the lives of others, and the thought of either a criminal record or time in jail does not appeal to you, don't drink and drive. How drinking impairs your driving. Driving an automobile is not as easy nor as carefree a task as many would have you believe. Driving requires constant decision-making and is, by its very nature, difficult and dangerous. Good driving requires good judgment. Good judgment is the ability to think clearly and to make quick decisions, including proper evaluations of time, space, and distance. Alcohol impairs good judgment. The more a driver drinks, the more rapidly their judgment goes from good to bad to deadly. Good perception. Good perception is the ability to see clearly and be visually aware of what is going on around you while driving. The ability to see well becomes even more important at night, since normal vision is reduced by 50%. Because there is not enough light for your eyes to function properly. Drinking severely diminishes good perception. For instance, alcohol relaxes the eye muscles and thus reduces your ability to see when there is a sudden increase in light, such as when the headlights of an oncoming car are in your eyes. It normally takes about 7 seconds for your eyes to recover from headlight glare. At 55 miles per hour, that is almost the length of 2 football fields. The eyes of drinking drivers take significantly longer to adjust. Alcohol also affects your ability to identify objects to the side when looking ahead. After consuming alcohol, your ability to see merging, passing, or parked vehicles, pedestrians or bicyclists, on the side of a road is reduced. Additionally, alcohol decreases your ability to judge how close or far away another car or object is. Emotional control. Having control over one's emotions enables the sober driver to use good judgment while driving. As a depressant, alcohol gradually shuts down more and more areas of the brain. As time passes, drinkers become less and less rational, more easily saddened, upset, or angry, and thus more likely to take risks while driving. Alertness, concentration, coordination, and reaction time. Alcohol also interferes with the brain's ability to react and to concentrate. A driver who has consumed alcohol is more apt to fall asleep at the wheel or drive off the roadway. Moreover, the more a person drinks, the less control they have over coordinating body functions and movements. Simply put, a person who has been drinking is more likely to drive too fast or too slow for prevailing conditions, fail to dim headlights for oncoming traffic, pass improperly, leaving insufficient clearance, taking too long or swerving too much, make frequent lane changes, fail to remain in the center of the lane, overshoot and/or disregard traffic signals, lose alertness and adaptability in emergencies, and take too long to brake. Warning. Worse yet, as your sight, reflexes, coordination, and judgment diminish with each sip of alcohol, you become less and less aware of it. You even develop a false sense of well-being and confidence. In short, you become a menace to yourself and everyone else on or near a highway, and you don't even know it. Good drivers don't drink. Your likelihood of a car crash increases with each drink. Your chances of an accident increase. Refer to the chart on page 19. Over 50% of all fatally injured drivers have an alcohol level of 0.06 grams per 100 milliliters of blood or 210 liters of breath. Myths concerning alcohol. Beer versus booze. Some people think that if they drink beer, they are consuming less alcohol than those who drink mixed drinks. They are wrong. There is approximately the same amount of alcohol in a 12-ounce can of beer as there is in a 1-ounce shot of 100-proof hard liquor, or 4-ounce glass of table wine, or a 10-ounce wine cooler. People get drunk only from switching drinks. Wrong. Actually, switching doesn't usually make much of a difference. People get drunk from drinking too much, period. People are friendlier when they have been drinking. Wrong. Statistics show that roughly one half of all murders are alcohol related, as are one third of all suicides. Few women abuse alcohol. Wrong. Alcohol abuse does not discriminate. Women are just as likely to abuse alcohol as men. Sobering up. Because everyone's liver oxidizes alcohol at a constant rate, nothing but time will sober you up. Drinking black coffee, taking a cold shower, or exercising will only result in a wide awake, wet, or sweating drunk. Other drugs and driving. The word drug commonly refers to prescription medications, over-the-counter remedies, as well as illegal substances. The use of an over-the-counter medication or a prescription drug does not constitute a defense in court. When alcohol and other drugs combine in the body, the risk of having a traffic accident becomes even greater. Here are a few things you should remember. 1. Prescription medications. Be sure to ask your doctor about any side effects which could impair your driving. 2. Over-the-counter medications. Some allergy remedies, cough syrups, and cold pills, which you can buy without prescription, contain codeine, alcohol, antihistamines, or bromides, which can affect driving. 3. Amphetamines. Amphetamines are used as stimulants, but they can decrease one's ability to concentrate and cause hallucinations. Also, when the effect wears off, one is likely to be very tired and depressed. 4. Tranquilizers. These drugs can cause dizziness or drowsiness when combined with alcohol. They can cause heart failure, dangerously lower blood pressure, and cut off the flow of oxygen to the brain. 5. Barbiturates. Barbiturates are sedatives used primarily to help one to sleep. Excessive use can produce drowsiness, confusion, lack of coordination, tremors, and difficulty in thinking clearly. 6. Marijuana. Studies show that users of marijuana have more arrests for traffic violations than other drivers. Use of marijuana can cause drowsiness and inability to judge time and space. Also, some users report that they tend to concentrate on one object at a time, ignoring other objects around them. 7. Hard drugs. Hard drugs, such as morphine, opium, cocaine, and heroin, are narcotics. These drugs have the power to make users completely unaware of or indifferent to their surroundings. Other side effects include dizziness, incoherence, nausea, and vomiting. 8. The drug-alcohol mix. Many times worse than alcohol or drugs used alone is the use of alcohol and drugs at the same time. The combined influence of these two substances can produce dangerous effects on the mind and body, often resulting in death. It is extremely dangerous to drive under the influence of any drug, legal or otherwise. If you are convicted of driving in this condition, you will be subject to the same punishments as those for driving under the influence of alcohol. Additionally, being found in possession of illegal drugs or illegal transportation of drugs by a minor may result in severe penalties. Know the law. The following is a summary of Maine's operating under the influence OUI law. Immediate suspension by Secretary of State. If you are the operator of a motor vehicle and are driving with an alcohol level of 0.08 grams per 100 milliliters of blood, or 210 liters of breath, you are guilty of a criminal offense of operating under the influence. You will, in most instances, be promptly arrested and taken off to jail. Following your arrest, and based solely on the police report and an alcohol level test result, the Secretary of State will immediately suspend your license. This suspension takes place prior to any court appearance, so while you are waiting for your appearance before a judge, you won't be driving. Breath alcohol concentration. Breath alcohol, BRAC, is simply a precise way of recording the percentage of grams of alcohol per 210 liters of breath concentration. It is expressed in grams and measured by chemical analysis. BRAC is determined by the amount of alcohol consumed, the time required by the body to rid itself of alcohol, and the person's weight. The body eliminates alcohol at a constant rate that cannot be changed. Note, any amount of alcohol is likely to impair your driving ability. Alcohol level testing. There are two types of tests which can be used to measure alcohol level: the breath and blood tests. These tests are designed to measure the quantity of alcohol in blood. The results of such testing may be used as evidence in court and are fully accepted in all courts as accurate. Under current Maine law, the police officer will administer a breath test, either a sober meter or an intoxilizer, unless the officer determines that it is unreasonable for such a test to be administered. If the breath test is not administered, the driver will be required to submit to a blood test, which may be administered by a physician of the driver's choice, if the physician is reasonably available. Implied consent. What is it all about? It is important for Maine drivers to remember that a driver's license is not a basic right guaranteed under our Constitution. It is a privilege that is issued and may be withdrawn at the discretion of the state. Stated briefly, when you operate a motor vehicle in Maine, you automatically consent to a test at any time the authorities wish to administer it. You will not be forced to take such a test, but your driver's license will be immediately suspended if you refuse. The suspension will be for a period of up to 6 years by the Secretary of State. It is administrative. That means no court action is necessary. In addition, testimony of the arresting police officer regarding your driving performance can result in an OUI conviction, even without the alcohol test results to back it up. The law further requires any operator of a motor vehicle to submit to a chemical test to determine drug concentration if there is probable cause to believe the driver operated a motor vehicle while under the influence of a drug other than alcohol. The administrative suspension issued by the Secretary of State remains in effect even if you are later found innocent of OUI. And if you are found guilty based on the police officer's testimony, your refusal to take a test will be considered as an aggravating factor by the judge, and another OUI suspension will be tacked on. So, you will have a much longer penalty than if you had taken the test. Remember, a test can also protect you. If you are not legally intoxicated, the test will show it. If you are convicted of operating under the influence or operating with an excessive alcohol level, first court conviction. If you are convicted of OUI and your alcohol level is 0.08 to 0.14 grams per 100 milliliters of blood or 210 liters of breath, you will receive a mandatory fine of at least $500, $600 with refusal. You lose your license for at least 90 days. Pay a license reinstatement fee and be required to attend an alcohol and other drug education and treatment program. Or, if you are convicted of OUI and your alcohol level is 0.15 grams per 100 milliliters of blood or 210 liters of breath or more, or you are traveling 30 miles per hour or more over the speed limit, or you attempt to elude an officer of the law, or you refuse to take an alcohol level test, or you have a passenger under the age of 21 in the vehicle, you will spend at least 48 hours in jail, 96 hours if you refuse a test. Lose your license for at least 90 days. Pay a license reinstatement fee and be required to attend an alcohol and other drug education and treatment program. Second court conviction. A prior refusal to take an alcohol test is considered a prior offense. Upon conviction, you will receive at least 7 days in jail, 12 days if you refuse the test, a mandatory fine of at least $700, $900 if you refuse a test, loss of your license for at least 3 years, pay a license reinstatement fee, and be required to attend an alcohol and other drug education and treatment program. Third court conviction. Upon conviction, you will receive at least 30 days in jail, 40 days if you refuse the test, a fine of at least $1,100, $1,400 if you refuse a test, the loss of your license for at least 6 years, no work license, pay a reinstatement fee, and be required to attend an alcohol and other drug education and treatment program. In addition, all second and subsequent OUI offenders will have to demonstrate proof of liability insurance before being allowed to have their license reinstated. Maine offers an ignition interlock program for second and subsequent OUI offenders. Contact the OUI section at 207-624-9000, extension 52104 for additional information. There are no provisions whatsoever for work or limited licenses during minimum periods when suspension for OUI. Offenders are absolutely prohibited from driving. Conditional licenses. When a person convicted of OUI applies for reinstatement of their license, they are issued a license under the condition that they not operate a vehicle with any amount of alcohol. Additional suspension. A suspension period of 275 days must be added to the OUI or refusal suspension if a passenger under the age of 21 was in the vehicle. After the first OUI conviction, the reinstated license is conditional for 1 year. After a second or subsequent conviction, it is conditional for 10 years. A conditional licensee will have their driver's license suspended for 1 year without preliminary hearing if operating a motor vehicle with any amount of alcohol. A conditional licensee will have their driver's license suspended for the same suspension periods which apply to second or third OUI convictions, if operating with 0.08 grams or more of alcohol per 100 milliliters of blood or 210 liters of breath or higher. A conditional licensee will have their driver's license suspended for a period of 2 years for any refusal to submit to an alcohol test, a penalty which will be added to any suspension previously handed down for an OUI conviction. Blood alcohol level for drivers under 21 years of age. For those of you who have not reached the age of 21, it is illegal for you to consume, purchase, or transport any alcoholic beverage. Therefore, you may not drive after consuming any amount of alcohol. If you are convicted of operating a motor vehicle while under the influence, you will lose your driver's license for at least 1 year, receive a stiff fine, possibly spend some time in jail, be required to pay a license reinstatement fee, and be required to complete an alcohol and other drug education evaluation and treatment program. If you have passengers under the age of 21 with you, your license will be suspended for an additional 180 days. Vehicle seizure. A person arrested for operating under the influence or operating after suspension, if the suspension was for a previous OUI or OUI offense, is subject to vehicle seizure and payment of any towing and storage fees, as well as a fine and jail time. This means that you could lose not only your freedom, but your vehicle as well. Drivers involved in fatal accidents. Every driver involved in a fatal motor vehicle accident, or an accident where a death is likely to occur, must submit to a chemical test. Failure to do so will result in a one-year license suspension. If the Secretary of State is satisfied that a driver, while under the influence of alcohol or drugs, negligently operated a motor vehicle in such a manner as to cause the death of any person, the Secretary of State shall immediately suspend that operator's license for at least 3 years. This suspension will be consecutive to any suspension imposed for refusal to submit to a chemical test. Moreover, a conviction for vehicular homicide in criminal court will result in an extended prison term and a revocation of your driver's license for at least 5 years. If you are under the influence of intoxicants at the time of the offense, your license will be revoked permanently. Open container law. The operator of a vehicle on a public way is in violation of law if the operator or a passenger in the passenger area of the vehicle consumes alcohol or possesses an open alcoholic container. Exceptions. The operator or a passenger possesses an open alcoholic beverage container in a vehicle not equipped with a trunk if the open alcoholic beverage container is located behind the last upright seat of the vehicle or in an area not normally occupied by the operator or passenger. A passenger transported for a fee consumes alcohol or possesses an alcoholic beverage container in a vehicle designed for the for-hire transportation of passengers other than a taxicab. A passenger possesses an open alcoholic beverage container, or a passenger consumes alcohol in the living quarters of a motorhome, trailer, semi-trailer, or truck camper. The operator or the operator's employer holds a valid off-premise catering license and the alcohol is being transported either to or from a catered event. Remember, any conviction of OUI results in a criminal record. Operating under the influence is costly. In fact, one drink over the legal limit could cost well over $7,000. Refer to the diagram on costs associated with operating under the influence. Special notice for teenagers and young adults. The leading cause of death for young people in the United States, ages 16 to 24, is alcohol-related automobile accidents. Approximately 8,500 young adults are killed and an additional 40,000 are crippled or disfigured every year due to drinking and driving in this country. Remember, alcohol is a drug which has damaged or destroyed the lives of tens of millions of drinkers and their families. Alcohol is the most dangerous and widely used drug in the United States today. Though one or two drinks may make some people feel more lively, alcohol is a depressant, and the more you take in, the more your brain is put to sleep. Once absorbed into your bloodstream, alcohol travels to all parts of your body. An abusive drinker is likely to have many serious physical problems as a result of excessive use of alcohol. Some of the most common physical problems include problematic pregnancies and birth defects, fetal alcohol syndrome, skin problems, broken capillaries, wrinkles, acne, weight gain and fluid retention, digestive problems, heartburn, ulcers, nausea, constipation, nutritional deficiencies, weakened immune system, weakened bones and teeth, high blood pressure, strokes, heart attacks, and blood clots, cancer, liver disease, fertility problems, decreased sexual arousal and performance. It's okay to say no to alcohol. In fact, one out of three adults choose not to drink at all for reasons such as these. They don't like the taste of alcohol. They dislike feeling out of control. Drinking is against their religion. Alcohol makes them ill. They have been taken advantage of while under alcohol's influence. They have been in too many dangerous situations too often as a result of alcohol. They have a friend or relative whose life has been negatively affected by alcohol. Moreover, you can have fun, relax, and enjoy life without drinking. Ultimately, whether you choose to drink is up to you. You must, however, be aware that it is illegal for you to buy alcohol if you are under 21 years of age. Furthermore, it is illegal for you to transport alcohol in a motor vehicle unless in the scope of employment or at the request of a parent or guardian. It is illegal to transport illegal drugs in a motor vehicle at any time. If you are ever found to be operating a motor vehicle with any amount of alcohol in your blood or refuse to submit to the blood or breath test, you will lose your driver's license for at least 1 year. And if convicted of OUI, receive a fine and possibly time in jail. Note, with regard to Maine's OUI laws, all licenses issued to minors, people under 21 years of age, are considered provisional and subject to immediate suspension until the individual attains the age of 21. In addition, a criminal record has seldom ever been considered an asset when applying for either a job, college, military service, or credit. Overall costs associated with OUI offenses, i.e. fines, increased insurance charges, court costs, are in most instances much more prohibitive for teenagers than they are for older, more financially secure adults. $7,240 is a lot harder to come by for someone who is either unemployed or making minimum wage. Over half of the young people killed in alcohol-related crashes were not the ones who were drinking. Protect your future. Don't drink and drive, and don't ride along with anyone who has. Call a taxi, catch a bus, call a friend or relative. Could you live with yourself if you killed or injured someone while driving after drinking? When you drive, you are responsible for the safety of your passengers, other drivers on the road, and pedestrians. You can protect your family and friends not only by not drinking and driving yourself, but by encouraging others to do likewise. Make the right decision. Choose life. Vision and hearing. Most of what you do behind the wheel is based on what you see. Good eyesight means seeing clearly. If you cannot see clearly, you cannot judge distances or spot trouble, so you won't be able to do something about it. Good side vision. You need to see out of the corner of your eye. This lets you spot vehicles coming up on either side of you while your eyes are on the road ahead. Judging distance. You can see clearly and still not be able to judge distances. Good distance judgment is important in knowing how far you are from other vehicles. Good night vision. Many people who can see clearly in the daytime have trouble at night. Some cannot see things in a dim light. Others may have trouble with the glare of headlights. Have your eyes checked every year or two. You may never know about bad side vision or bad distance judgment unless your eyes are checked. Hearing is more important to driving than many people realize. Your hearing can warn you of danger. The sound of horns, a siren, screeching tires. Sometimes you can hear a vehicle that you cannot see in your blind spots. Hearing problems, like bad eyesight, can come on slowly that you do not notice them. Drivers who know they are having hearing problems can adjust. They can learn to rely more on their seeing habits. Even people with good hearing cannot hear well if the radio is blaring. Keep the radio turned down and do not wear headsets while driving. Driving fatigue. Remember, when you're tired, you can't drive as well as you do when you're rested. Decisions are slower and harder to make, and you get upset more easily. Or worse, there's always the chance you will fall asleep behind the wheel. Wake up to the facts. The U.S. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration estimates that each year, as many as 240,000 accidents are related to sleepiness at the wheel. And in a recent survey, 25% of surveyed drivers reported having fallen asleep while driving, while 1 in 20 reported having had a crash due to falling asleep or being drowsy while driving. What's more, these crashes can be serious. In a study of fatal crashes on the New York Thruway, an estimated one-half occurred because the driver fell asleep at the wheel. And here's perhaps an even more sobering thought. Like driving under the influence of alcohol, drowsiness severely impairs your driving ability. You can't fight off the Sandman. Most of us believe we can control when we fall asleep. But the reality is, sleep is not voluntary. You can't shake it off with caffeine. You can't starve it off with loud music. And you can't hold it off simply by cracking the window for fresh air. Fact is, if you're drowsy at the wheel, you can fall asleep and never even know it. Called microsleeps, these brief naps last only 4 to 5 seconds. And when you're cruising along at 55 miles an hour, the tiniest nap can be fatal. Catch up on your sleep before it catches up with you. If you feel like you're not getting enough sleep, you're not alone. It's estimated that 30 to 50% of us aren't getting the amount of sleep our bodies require. The result is a sleep debt we owe ourselves, and the only way to erase this debt is to get more sleep. So don't be fooled by feeling alert just before you plan to drive. Because as soon as you get behind the wheel and relax, your sleep debt may take over and put you in serious danger of falling asleep. How much sleep does your body really need? Everybody has a biological need for a certain amount of sleep. It's possible that you may be able to get by with as little as 6.5 hours. But you could be someone who requires as much as 10 hours of sleep. How can you know? For starters, you shouldn't have to rely on an alarm clock to wake you every morning. If you're getting enough sleep, your brain will wake you automatically. Here's another way to tell. Do you sleep a lot later on weekends or doze off when you're sitting up? If you do, your body is telling you something. And you owe it to your health and safety to listen by getting more sleep. Give it a rest for safety. Here are 5 tips to help assure you arrive safely. Make sure you get plenty of sleep the night before leaving on a trip. Plan to drive only during the time you are normally awake. And never try to push through to your destination rather than pulling off the road and finding a safe place to rest. Avoid driving during your body's downtime. Take a mid-afternoon break and find a safe place to sleep between midnight and 6 a.m. Talk with your passenger if you have someone along for the trip. Trade off driving duty to allow one another to rest. Make sure both people in the front seats are awake. A driver who needs rest should go to the back seat, buckle up, and nap. Why? When the objective is to always remain alert, it doesn't help if the person next to you is sawing logs. Schedule a break every 2 hours or 100 miles. And of course, stop sooner if you're experiencing any of the danger signs and take a short 15 to 20 minute nap. The danger signs of drowsiness. You must make a conscious effort to keep your eyes open. You want to prop your head up. You can't stop yawning. You don't remember driving the last few miles. You keep drifting from your lane. You have wandering, disconnected thoughts. If you experience even one of these symptoms, you're only heading for trouble. Pull off the road and find a safe place to take a short nap. Your health. Any health problem can affect your driving. A bad cold, infection, or a virus. Even little problems, like a stiff neck, a cough, or a sore leg, can affect your driving. If you are not up to par, let someone else drive. With short-term illnesses, you must decide for yourself if you can safely drive. With long-term conditions that can affect your driving, the Bureau of Motor Vehicles shares the decision. The driver's license examiner can help you decide when and how you may safely drive and whether you need any special equipment. Many people with long-term medical conditions or disabilities are licensed to drive in Maine. Medical conditions and disabilities that are evaluated include, but are not limited to, conditions that affect alertness. For example, diabetes, heart problems, epilepsy, and severe lung disorders may reduce alertness. However, if the condition is shown to be stable and well controlled, you may be licensed. Physical disabilities. Many people drive with, for example, multiple sclerosis, cerebral palsy, amputation of limbs, paralysis, or Parkinsonism. Some people need additional training and perhaps special equipment on the vehicle. If your condition has changed, or you have started to use special equipment, a driving evaluation may be needed when you renew your license. The examiner will want to see that you can handle the vehicle safely. Vision and hearing problems. Refer back to page 27. Part 3, Practice Questions. 1. What is the BRAC level, which denotes operating under the influence, OUI, in Maine for people under 21 years of age? 2. What is the legal BRAC level for determining OUI in those aged 21 and older in Maine? 3. What does implied consent mean? 4. What drug is the most damaging and widely used in the United States today? 5. True or false? An OUI offense could cost you more than $7,000.